Welcome to episode 2 of the Sight Screen Cricket Journal podcast. In this episode, I have a fascinating conversation with cricket commentator Johnny Barron, covering the impact of COVID-19 on cricket, what it's like to work in Bangladesh as a commentator, and the outlook for Bangladesh cricket in general. Please do check out the website, sightscreencricketjournal.com, and please do also leave feedback via the Twitter handle, SightScreenCJ. Enjoy the podcast. I'm really excited to be talking to a guest who knows cricket inside out. He worked last year as an on-pitch presenter at the World Cup. He's worked in Bangladesh for Guzzi TV. He's worked in India for Star Sports. He's worked in South Africa for Supersport. He's also a regular on BBC 5 Live Sports Extra. But more importantly than that, he's entertained me through many a dull day in the office with his ball-by-ball commentary on BBC Radio covering all of Surrey's matches. He is Mr. Johnny Barron. Welcome, Johnny.
Ah, Tahid. Lovely to hear from you. And, well, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, it's great to have you on today. There's lots that I wanted to talk to you about today, cricket-wise. But let's kick off. Rewinding back to last September and the one-off test match in Chittagong between Bangladesh and Afghanistan. So tell me a little bit about how you got to work with Guzzi TV and just in terms of your experiences of working out there in Bangladesh.
Ah, well, as with most things that have happened in my cricketing life, complete luck, really. It was a wonderful summer. I was lucky enough to work for the ICC doing the comms on the World Cup, including the semi-finals and the final, including that final ball delivered by Jofra Archer. And it actually stemmed from there, really. I got a call from Tanvir Ahmed, who was putting together the production, and I'd worked alongside him and some others with production for the ICC earlier in the summer, and he just gave me a call. I got a call on Sunday saying, would you like to come out? We've had a dropout on the commentary team. Would you like to come out to Chittagong to do the test match? I flew on the Monday, arrived on Tuesday, and was in vision with the two team captains and the match referee bright and early on Wednesday morning. It was the most incredible whirlwind of an experience. It was just incredible. So it literally came from Sunday and was there on Wednesday. It was the opportunity of a lifetime.
As you say, you find yourself in Bangladesh after a whirlwind, hectic few days. Talk us through how it was like to work with Guzzi TV, both in terms of how the production side of things, and also how was it like to work with some of the stars, really, of Bangladesh broadcasting commentary, so people like Athar Ali Khan, Shamim Chowdhury.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, as you mentioned with those two as an example, to work with such esteemed broadcasters who are well known in the region was incredible, and they were so charming to me. I mean, that's what I really noticed when I got in there, having never worked in the region before. And to be fair, you know, fundamentally, I've done a little TV in the past, but I have a face for radio, as a lot of people will well know, and radio has been very much my bread and butter for the past 13 years. So the opportunity to do TV with such esteemed broadcasters was just absolutely wonderful, and they really welcomed me into the fold very much as their own.
I think what fans were really appreciative of was the fact that there are now more diverse voices covering Bangladesh's games in terms of commentary. So I know there's people like yourself, obviously, covering the game against Afghanistan. And then there's also other newer voices from around the world covering the game. There's people like Gautam Bimani, people like Tino from Zimbabwe. So I think that only adds and enhances the reputation of Bangladesh cricket, because I think it's really important to cover cricket matches in a really kind of professional and slick way. And I think certainly, you know, your presence at that test match added to that. So yeah, just talking about those other commentators that you were in the comm box with, was it quite a nice blend of different characters that were there with you?
Yeah, it really was. They were so charming. I've actually halfway through the flight, I think from Doha onwards, I sat next to Tino Maweo, who was the first commentator that I met, the Zimbabwe test player, and also played a bit of domestic cricket over here in the UK. And Shirai Nafeez, of course, a former Bangladesh captain, and a man still very much looking to put the colours of his country on again. And Shamin Chowdhury, who's just has one of the greatest voices, broadcast voices, I think I've ever had the pleasure of listening to, and somebody who just gets it and has such an astute voice of cricket and player, of course, AAK, working with him as well. It was terrific. It really was. And it's you know, to work with the caliber of those broadcasters, it was a joyous experience from start to finish.
Moving on then, in terms of, like you say, just going to Bangladesh in itself was quite a, I'm sure, quite an amazing experience for you. Presumably, it was your first time in the country.
It was, yes, never been to. I've been to India before. I remember going on the 2006 tour, the Flintoff tour, where the series has won all, and I witnessed that at first hand in Mumbai, that final dramatic game. And Monty Panesar, I seem to remember taking wicket, so Ishan test debut. But I've never been to Bangladesh before, and yeah, was made to feel incredibly welcome in Chottogram. We had the Ashes going on, which I was also covering back in the UK. So the working day was fairly busy, to say the least, with Test cricket, obviously doing that to camera during the day, and then following the Ashes, which would actually run rather neatly at the close of play in Bangladesh. So long days, but yeah, I mean, just the warmth of the reaction and the interest in the game was all too prevalent to see across the nation next time, definitely.
Okay then, so let's focus on the game itself. So I think it's fair to say the game did not go as planned for Bangladesh at all. They ended up losing by 224 runs, Afghanistan running out quite easy victors in the end. Just a quick summary looking at the scorecard. Afghanistan batting first racked up a decent score, 342. Bangladesh in reply, 260. And then Bangladesh being set an improbable last innings chase of 398 to win. I think one of the stark things that really is emphasised from the scorecard is the Bangladesh batting, only one player managing to score a half century. That was Momenul Haque in the first innings. Other than that, not much to write home about. In terms of the Afghan bowling, it was really dominated by Mohammad Nabi and Rashid Khan. Rashid Khan ending up man of the match there with 11 wickets. So just looking at the game, where do you think it kind of went wrong for Bangladesh?
Well, I mean, on a number of levels, really. I think, first of all, losing the toss at home is never something you want to do. But that should never be seen as an excuse by any stretch of the imagination, because that can very much happen in Test cricket. I think from a Bangladesh point of view, they were expecting the ball to turn from moment one, day one, and that's how we've seen they've been so effective, of course, in those series that they drew against both Australia and England in recent times. Those pitches were very spin friendly from the off, whereas it took a little time for the ball to turn during the course of the game. And Jernan, I don't think Bangladesh bowled particularly well on that first day either, allowing Afghanistan to get to what looked like a mountain 342 all out. And then, of course, it did start to deteriorate pretty quickly at that point onwards. And Rashid Khan was just fantastic. And actually, Mohammad Nabi will be such a loss to Afghanistan as a cricketer in Test cricket moving forward, because he was imperious. He's been in the game, of course, 17 years. He played for Afghanistan first when they were playing the likes of Jersey and Guernsey in Division 7 of the ICC Championship. So it really was a very impressive display by Afghanistan, and Bangladesh never really came to the races.
I think you're right. I mean, watching the coverage on TV, it was quite apparent just looking at Bangladesh body language when they were out in the field. They didn't really ever look totally up for it. They kind of always looked a bit lacking in intensity. And I think, in contrast, the Afghans were absolutely up for it. They looked keen, they looked eager, they looked enthusiastic right from the off. And as you say, Rashid Khan, Mohammed Nabi as well, but Rashid Khan, what a special player. What do you think makes him such a special player, and why is he so difficult to bat against?
Oh God, where do you start with Rashid Khan? He's incredible. He has this aura about him. One of the things I noticed actually that he's treated like God wherever he goes. Now, bear in mind, Afghanistan on the away side here, he was as big a star as any of the Bangladesh players there. And this is a man in his early 20s. I just think he has the way in which he goes about his cricket. You only have to look at his batting in that game. He took 24 off and over in the sequence of that test match. Two cameos which were vital to Afghanistan's innings, and the way in which he bowled was just absolutely brilliant. He was relentless, 11 wickets in the match. He just took the ball by the horns. You just feel that that this is a test cricket or modern test cricket. He's just tailor-made for talents of that ability, especially in the subcontinent. He's very difficult to keep out of the game with either bat or ball. I think he's just a force of nature, incredible cricketer.
As good as Rashid Khan and Mohammed Nabi were in terms of their bowling, I still feel it was a very disappointing batting effort from Bangladesh. Particularly looking at that second innings, where I remember there was a bit of rain around on the last day, actually. And so there was a curtailed day's play. So I think Bangladesh only had to survive something like 18 or 19 odd overs. And Afghanistan still had about 4 wickets, I think it was, to take. But even then, they couldn't quite manage to bat out those overs.
Yeah, it was a very tight finish. I mean, a dramatic finish actually on that final day, because the rain, I have to say, as we arrived at the ground on that final day, all the prospects were that this was going to be a struggle to get any play whatsoever. And then there was a glimmer of hope in the afternoon session. And then, of course, there was more rain, and they just got back out there. Time was against them, but they managed to force the win just inside the. The time allowed, as you quite rightly said, there were 4 wickets down overnight, and they didn't need a great deal of cricket to get in to beat Bangladesh on that final day. But looking at it, they were very, very lucky, because for large portions of the day, the ground was covered in covers, rain was relentless. But it felt for me, and I think a lot of cricket watchers and a lot of actually Bangladesh followers who watched the game, it felt like poetic justice that Afghanistan did win, because they'd been the form horse through the course of the game. I think it would have been a travesty had they not have got home.
Looking at Bangladesh cricket in a more general sense, as we know, that test match was the first test match under the new coach Russell Domingo, and it came off the back of ultimately a disappointing World Cup campaign, where Bangladesh started off the tournament really well in the first couple of weeks, but then certainly tailed off. And I think it's fair to say they've kind of been on a downward spiral ever since then. They haven't had particularly successful tours of late. They toured India, comprehensively beaten in the Test series there, and also in the more recent Test match against Pakistan in Pakistan, again losing that quite convincingly. So, in your view, where do you see Bangladesh cricket at the moment, and how do you think they've done, I guess, over the last sort of 12 months or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we let's go back to the World Cup, some of the most impressive performances in that competition were actually down to Bangladesh. The dismantling of South Africa early in the tournament, and then that epic chase against the West Indies down at Taunton was fantastic. They played
Yeah, and
some
that was the highest chase of the tournament.
the highest chase of the tournament. They were absolutely brilliant, and they were unlucky not to win against New Zealand. And that came off the back of a very, 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 very good Champions Trophy a couple of years previous. So in the end, of course, you know, they didn't get the opportunity to get into the semi-finals. But I thought, you know, Bangladesh through large portions of that competition were very, very competitive with one of the most experienced sides in the game, and they certainly made that tell. As far as a one-off test, it's difficult to gauge, really. You know, actually, what's a great shame is that as a three-match series against Afghanistan, you feel would have been an absolute blinder. But, you know, Afghanistan are just in the stage where they're in their third test at the time. And they're kind of feeling their way, if you like. But I think in those conditions, you know, three-test series would have been quite fantastic. I think it's very difficult. You know, the world order is changing and evolving. But what Bangladesh do have is they do have continually talent coming through, breaking through the ranks. And of course, they've got a large swathe of really experienced cricketers who are still very much in their prime. I mean, one of the big losses, of course, is having Shakib out of the game. And, you know, when he comes back, I think that'll be a factor. But, you know, they are well served, you feel, to perform well on the global stage at home and should do well, certainly in subcontinental conditions. Never easy going away from home, of course. And we've just seen sides across Test cricket perform poorly away from home across the board.
I think you're right. I think putting my optimist hat on, yeah, I think there are some things to be optimistic about in terms of Bangladesh cricket going forward. As you probably know, Bangladesh under-19s won the World Cup in South Africa just a month or two ago, which was a fantastic achievement in itself, the first time any Bangladesh cricket representative team had won a world trophy. So that was a fantastic achievement in itself. And I think it does really augur well for the future in terms of hopefully producing a bit of a pipeline, a pathway for those players to break into the senior team and to be able to then kind of mix and blend with those more experienced people that are in the team, like you say, the Shakibs, the Tamim Iqbals, the Mushfiquurs, the Mahmudullahs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll see the legacy of an under-19 win can never be underestimated, because that is the next generation of players who are coming through, and you'll see the fruits of that experience across the next 18 months, 2 years, you would imagine. And that can never be underestimated.
So throwing things forward, looking at some of the sort of key fixtures coming up in the international cricket calendar for Bangladesh and others. Obviously, you've got the T20 World Cup. Hopefully, that's still scheduled to take place in October. But obviously, in the times that we're living in at the moment through this pandemic, things are shifting around. Things are very fluid. And also, there's the remaining fixtures within the Test Championship. And I'm guessing as well, the fixtures worldwide for that are going to be impacted in terms of, I know that was due to finish next summer, but I'm guessing that probably looks unlikely as well. Just an assessment from you in terms of COVID-19, the impact it's having on international fixtures, and just the ability for I guess teams to plan for things.
I mean, almost impossible. If you look at, I think everybody's way of life is very much on hold at the moment. I mean, here in England, which is one of the most liberal places you would have ever wished to live in, we are on an effective lockdown. So everybody is confined to barracks or confined to their households. And apart from essential shopping and a bit of exercise, but you see that, you know, India, for instance, is on a at least a 2-week lockdown. That's a country of what, 1.3 billion people, and this is replicated across the world. I mean, cricket is very far down the list of priorities as far as people are concerned, and as far as the landscape is concerned, it's really difficult to know when that will crank up, what the environment will be, and where it sits. You know, as far as recreation is concerned, over here in the UK, there is a gentle timeline of 28th. The season is technically suspended till the 28th, both domestic and internationally, to the 28th of May. But of course, you know, that will change. And exactly what happens when the game restarts and under what conditions the game restarts, you know, time will tell. I think it's almost impossible to second guess where we're going to be in the space of a month's time, in the space of 3 months' time, and possibly even a year down the line.
Certainly one of the fixtures that I was most looking forward to this summer, or set of fixtures, was Bangladesh's mini tour of England. So they were due to play Ireland in 40-20 matches, I believe, throughout various venues in England, including the Oval, Chelmsford, and there are a couple of other, Edgbaston being amongst them. I think it's a real shame that those games aren't happening, because I think we saw last summer during the World Cup just the amount of vociferous support that there is for Bangladesh.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at the World Cup, I would say in terms of supporters and turnout and fervour, they would be the third best side supported in the competition. India probably at the top in terms of their ticket reach. England, of course, being the host nation, and Bangladesh, you know, in front of Pakistan, I would say in position three, incredible. I mean, I covered a number of games in which they are involved, and their numbers were far and wide. It was absolutely brilliant to see, and I think the tour would have been a raging success because the Bangladesh community, no doubt, would have come and paid to see their team. You know, having come out in their droves in the World Cup, they would have done it again. I'm sure tickets would have been brilliantly sold in the likes of the Oval and at Chelmsford. I think it was a mastermind and a brilliant move. And I think, although it hasn't happened, I think you'll see Bangladesh playing more and more cricket actually over in the UK, because there is a latent demand for it, and that will not be sated. And if anything, because we will have an enforced break, you know, people will be desperate to see their side again, and what a great opportunity.
Moving on then to domestic matters. I mean, I can't not talk to you without speaking about Surrey and, of course, their prospects for however long the season actually ends up being. Let's look at Surrey for a moment. I, for one, was really eager to follow their progress there this year. Obviously, they didn't have a great outing in the last campaign, but I was really looking forward to seeing people like Ollie Pope, people like Will Jacks, who I think had a great season last year, and of course overseas stars like Hashim Amla in the mix as well. I was really looking forward to seeing them all perform. But how do you assess Surrey's form?
Well, 2 years ago, they were imperious. They literally beat all before them, apart from that match against Essex in the final game of the season. But of course, the championship was done and dusted by then. They were brilliant, and it was an absolute joy to cover. Last year, just bizarrely, that difficult second season. We've seen it a lot, actually, in the county championship. The amount of sides that have gone down after winning the title. It's happened a number of occasions in recent years. And last year might have been a similar scenario. They just about clung on, even though it was just one side that went down. This year, I think they'll bounce back well. They've got, you know, a wealth of talent. They've had a wealth of talent for a while, actually, and they're starting to establish themselves. You mentioned the likes of Will Jacks. Of course, Rory Burns, will get a hit at some stage, looking to get back into that England side. The likes of Ollie Pope and Morne Morkel and Amla. And, you know, there's plenty of other talent to pick from across the board. So you feel they'll be very, very competitive. But, of course, time will tell to see what kind of domestic season we're left with, whether it'll be a truncated championship. I suspect that might well be the case. Or whether we just literally end up with the white ball formats going toe-to-toe at the back end of the season. We'll just have to wait and see as to what course of action the game takes.
That's right. I mean, I think it would be a real shame if there isn't any Red Bull cricket domestically this year. But yeah, let's just hope that there is some form of cricket at some point. I know we could probably talk for a lot longer, but let's wrap things up. But before we do wrap things up, I'm going to ask a big favour of you. I want you to give me a couple of lines of commentary. So imaginary commentary, as there isn't much cricket being played at the moment. But let's fast forward to the T20 World Cup final taking place in Australia later this year. We're at the MCG. The final's been contested between England and Bangladesh. Australia were thoroughly beaten by England in the semis, which everyone was happy about, and Bangladesh beat India in the other semis, which lots of people were also happy about. So we're at the MCG, we take it into the last over of the game. Bangladesh are chasing a very stiff target of 226 to win. They're on 220. It's the very last ball of the game. Ben Stokes is bowling. He grabbed the ball off Jofra Archer. So he's been determined to bowl the last over. It's almost a replay of the 2016 World Cup final for Ben Stokes. But Tamim Iqbal is on strike. 6 runs to win. Can you pick up the action?
Well, here we are. We're down to the final ball of the competition. It's come down to that moment again. Ben Stokes will be trusted, of course, with this. The over's gone pretty well thus far, but he's got one more ball. A mortality once again for him. Standing in his way is Tamim Iqbal, who settles over his bat. 6 required now for Bangladesh to be world champions. Can they win their first ever senior tournament here at the MCG? Here is Stokes at the top of his run. Right arm over. He's into Iqbal, who heaves away on the onside, up and over mid-wicket. That's an awesome shot. It's gone all the way. And there it is for Bangladesh. Iqbal goes bananas and starts to circle around the ground. Stokes is devastated on his knees as the MCG greets with rapturous applause this win by Bangladesh. Their first in a global tournament at senior level. Incredible scenes in the World T20 final.
Brilliant, Johnny. Thank you so much. I'm sure if that actually happens in real life in the future, there'll be millions of Bangladesh fans going bananas all over the world. But thank you so much, Johnny.
Lovely. Always a pleasure.